Hello everybody and welcome back to another episode of The Synopsis. I am Zach and I will be your guide down the rabbit hole as we go into episode 16 today. And it's going to be a good one, folks. It's going to be about aliens. We've talked about some paranormal stuff the last couple of episodes, so what better way to keep it moving than to talk about some extraterrestrial activities, some conspiracies, some theories, and maybe even the idea that aliens have been among us this whole time, and only just now the government are allowing us to know about it. But of course, with every single episode that we have the synopsis, you know we gotta go into the This Time Online. Today is Tuesday, the 13th of August, so all the news articles are going to be from today or a few days before. So let's get right into This Time Online. Let's talk about some aliens. Let's have a discussion. But first things first, let's have a story time about this new microphone and this new setup that I have been struggling with. And hopefully you guys will get a kick out of it. So without further ado, let's just get straight into it. And let me tell you about this story with this microphone struggle I have been having the last couple of days. It started off nice and easy. I used a Samsung mic. It was a 2.0 and I've been using it for the last 15 podcasts and this one, ironically, for episode 16. It's been working pretty well for me. Okay, maybe the first two podcasts, I believe I didn't use a microphone, I used my cell phone, but that was because I was trying to get used to podcasting, the Anchor app and all that good stuff, so there's an excuse for that. However, more recently I invested in a better microphone to use so I could record on the podcast, upgrade the quality and make it a better experience for everybody involved. So then I thought to myself, well, hang on a minute, Zach, here's an idea. You already got yourself a pretty decent mic with this Samsung. Why don't you go ahead and get yourself a nice little setup? That way I'll be able to podcast and get decent quality out of it so you guys aren't hearing any background noise or anything like that. You're just hearing my voice, you're hearing the music in the background, you're just chilling, you're just vibing to the podcast. Sounds good, right? So here's where the struggle started. I bought myself a condenser microphone. It was the BM800. And if you don't know what that is, Google it. It's a nice little microphone setup. It was only $40 total. $25 I got it on a discount, which was a vibe. It does nice in recording. So here's the kicker. Step one. It only came with the XLR cord and it came with the microphone and the stand and everything. And it looked nice. It didn't come with the Phantom Power Pack, which is what is needed for any condenser microphone. It basically converts your output and your input so you can put it onto your computer and in that way you can record and the sound is good, the sound is there. I didn't know that at first, so I was trying to record with this microphone and I heard nothing. It was just blank. I was like, well, this is shitty, this was a waste of money, nothing's gonna work, fuck this. It was the Phantom Power, so I googled it, I found one, I went to the local music store right by my house and I bought one and I was like, okay, cool, will this work? He said yes, but you might need another cable to connect everything. I said, that's fine. I bought myself a cable as well. Got home today, put that bad boy in, and guess what? Yep, you guessed it. I could actually hear myself and the recording was happening. Not too bad, right? Not too shabby. Here's where things get more difficult. I start doing the recording of the podcast. I'm like, okay, I'm feeling it. You know, it's looking good. I'm feeling good. Brand new setup. The boys, oh, lordy, everyone's going to be happy with the quality. I got my pop filter on. I got my microphone buffer, I got my tripod stand, I'm good looking good, boys, I'm looking real good. You can check it out on Instagram or Twitter. I posted the pictures, it looks pretty good. The photography, you know, it's not that good, but the overall equipment value's there. I said to myself, let me do a little test real quick, let me, you know, do 5-10 second test, figure out the sound settings, figure out all that good stuff, because you know, when you're recording podcasts and stuff, you got to get your sounds just correct, otherwise your podcast is going to sound off, the music's going to overpower your voice, or it won't pick up your voice correctly recording, all that kind of good stuff. So I said, okay, my boys, let's check it out. Did a 10 seconds test. I record it, everything's feeling good, I'm like, okay, let's press play. I press play, no sound comes out. I said, okay, maybe that's on me, maybe I did something wrong. Let me check. Yep, sure enough, I had the settings wrong on the headphones. I was like, alright, cool. Press play again, and I hear this noise. The whole time I'm doing conversation, just as soon as I'm talking, nothing but non-stop static. Well, that can't be good, right? So I look online, I try and find a solution. I can't find a bloody solution. So right now, I'm stuck with a microphone that does nothing but static, and is very, very painful to listen to. So my thought process is, if I go to my music shop again, maybe I can buy a different cable that connects directly USB instead of audio jack. That way it will be a much smoother connection and hopefully there isn't a problem. If there is a problem, now I'm stuck with a microphone, a stand setup, a Phantom Power 48 volt transverter, and an XLR cable that are all effectively useless. Now, the microphone stand itself isn't too useless because I'm using it right now on my Samsung mic. I plugged it in, I've got a little pop filter up there so my voice should be sounding nice and crispy clear. So hopefully that adds a little bit extra into the podcast. So let me know what you guys think, if you think the setup right now sounds decent, or if you can even figure out how to stop this damn static buzzing sound from this BM800 microphone. If you can figure it out, let me know. I really appreciate it. I'm not the best technological wise, but I am trying to get the podcast good. And like I said, I'm trying to get a nice setup so you guys are understanding as well. So, hopefully somebody can reach out to me, tell me what to do, tell me how to fix it. And don't say, change my settings on Audacity. I've tried that, it didn't work. It's something to do with the connection. I'm thinking if I get a new cable that isn't an audio jack, because right now it's an audio jack converted to a USB converted to the computer. Maybe if I just got a XLR converted straight to a USB, it would work better than an audio jack. But I don't know. It's going to be a case of trial and error. But the thing is, trial and error costs money, and that's something that I don't have. So if you would like to support the podcast, link is in the description. Shameless plug, I know, but realistically, it's expensive trying to get the audio equipment ready and everything else set up. And I know I'm sounding like a shill, but it's true, it does cost money, it does take time. So bear with me, guys, while I get everything in the settings correct. Eventually, we'll have a crispy, clear, golden podcast. Everything will be great, and you guys will be like, hey, let's listen to his old stuff. Oh, fuck, let's not listen to his old shit, because it just sounds terrible. With that being said, let's move on to this time online. There are a few things we are going to discuss that has happened this couple of days, and then we're going to get on to our main subject of the stories today, which is going to be aliens. Are they real? Do they exist? We'll find out after we do this time online. Okay guys, so this time online there are a few things we are going to discuss before we get into our main podcast. The first couple of things I'm going to discuss are something that aren't really trending as much as this last subject, but we're going to discuss it anyway. The first thing is the Versace One China scandal. For those who have not heard, Versace got into big trouble recently for saying that Hong Kong and Ascodia, I believe that's how you pronounce it, I can't remember how you pronounce it, so I apologize if I butchered that. They were implying that they were both countries and not both part of China. For those unaware, China recently have this policy where they are all under one China. They are basically trying to stand a united front. And Versace released this shirt that had a bunch of the clothing empires, like wherever they based out of each country, they had them printed on there. So it was like London, Great Britain, Rome, Italy, New York, United States, and then these two ones said Hong Kong, and the other place, I cannot remember the name, I am sorry, Ascuna or whatever, and it said that basically they were two different countries, not one and the same place. So that was a very big problem that Versace caused for themselves. The Chinese supermodel actually resigned over this incident, stating that she did not want to work for a company where they were basically ignoring the one China rule that they have. So she put in her resignation, she quit. Versace issued an apology, they pulled the shirts from Hong Kong locations, from Chinese locations, they tried to put it right away. Damage has already been done at that point, guys. Like, you really have to be careful with what you are doing nowadays, especially when you have this whole entire empire saying, we are one country, we are united, and then a group like Versace turns around and says, actually, no, we're going to pretend that you guys aren't. That just puts everyone in a shitty situation, especially the model. She had to quit her job because her company was too ignorant to realize it. So she is now out of a job, sticking to the Chinese belief, sticking to the one China. So Versace, big no-no. Also, in this time online, we are going to talk about the mosque shooting that happened in Norway a couple of days ago. Yes, that is correct. If you guys did not hear, Norway had a white man go into a mosque and try to shoot it up. One person was killed. Only two or three were injured. I say only compared to what we've had in the United States the last week or so. This is how gun control should be. This man walked in with what they assumed was a double gauge shotgun or a pistol or something like that. And members of the Islamic temple, the mosque, overpowered him, pinned him down until police came. Now, if this was in the United States, this man would have walked in with an AK-47 or an AR automatic rifle, and he would have just shot the shit out of many a people. Again, something that needs to change in America is the gun control and the violence. We're not here to talk about that, though. We're talking about Norway. So Norway had a shoot-in. It was a white male, early 20s. He is known in Norway, rightfully so, as a terrorist, which should be labeled in the States as well. Even if they're white, I don't care if they're white. If you're shooting people and trying to kill them because of their beliefs or their religion or whatever it may be, you are a terrorist. End of that. The definition of a terrorist is to bring terror onto others. That is what you are doing. Just because you're not yelling some phrase that is supposed to be related to terrorism or something like that, it does not mean you are not a terrorist. So Norway having that managed to only have the damage very limited. The man is now arrested. He's being trialed. Hopefully they give justice and they give this man life sentence, maybe even more. I don't know. No parole, no bail. Just make sure he suffers rightfully. So speaking of Norway, they have just cancelled flights going to the United States and Ireland. So your Norwegian Airs, which is Norway's main airline, no longer having flights go to Ireland or America. They said the reason is it's unprofitable at this point. People aren't paying the money to try and get out to these countries. So they just said, all right, screw it. We're just going to cut everything off. So Norwegian Airlines are not flying to the States anymore or to Ireland. Big loss for both of those countries for the tourism. I know Norway isn't exactly the biggest tourist place, but nonetheless, having a whole country's airline say, nah, we're good. We're not going to fly out to you. Definitely does some damage. So damage control majorly needed for these countries who have been taken off of this no-fly zone effectively because they're not profitable. So other countries from Europe may do the same thing. So keep an eye out for that, guys. Now, our last two stories are kind of related. I'm going to talk about the Twitch over party first. Twitch did a big oopsie this week. Obviously, as you guys know, Ninja moved to Mixer. I put a call in on the stock market on Microsoft, assuming that Microsoft's stock would rise after Ninja went to Mixer, and 10 million people tuned into his first stream. It did not work in my favor. Microsoft's stock did not rise. Kind of screwed me over, but that's another story. So Twitch's response to this was to change Ninja's profile, and he was the only person they did this for. He changed his profile. It said the ninja you are looking for is in another castle. Kind of a play on the Mario thing. Not that big of a deal. Kind of funny. But then they started promoting other Twitch streamers on his channel. And I'm pretty sure if you've ever listened to video games or anything like that this week, you all know all about this Twitch drama. So I'm just going to recap it real quick. They promote other streamers on his channel. Okay, not that big of a deal. It's kind of damaging his brand because little kids are still going, oh, I want to see Ninja. They go to twitch.tv/ninja. They find other streamers. You know, it kind of gives them a boost as other streamers, but it's still kind of shitty because Twitch are using Ninja's name to promote other people. Twitch have since given Ninja back all of his account stuff, so it's just his account now. Ninja is not streaming on Twitch anymore, but previous live streams can still be viewed like they are on other channels. So this weekend, Twitch has been doing this with the Ninja profile, you know, top streamers on Twitch right now, check these guys out. And the first box that came up was of a stream, live streaming porn. That's right, for 1 hour and 38 minutes, they were live streaming pornographic videos. And you gotta remember, this is on Ninja's channel, which means a lot of kids are going to his channel and clicking on this and seeing this graphic imagery. And hey, you know, we're adults here, we can be honest, you know, porn, it is what it is. But when you're like 8, 9-year-old kid is going on Twitch to watch Ninja play Fortnite, and they see some dude fucking another blonde chick in white socks, and everyone knows the video because it's one of the videos that's always around the internet, on your Twitter feed, on your Instagram feed. This bitch has been seen like 200 million times already, or something like that. This is shown on Twitch, a platform when they're against nudity, they're against bad language, they're against violation, all this stuff, unless you're a woman. And that's something else we could go into with the Alanity situation of her torturing her cat, giving her cat vodka, throwing him over her head and just having a land, saying the N-word, not getting banned for anything, but yet Tfue gets banned for 30 days for accidentally slipping an N-word in there, or something like that. Double standards on Twitch is kind of ironic that the double standards is towards women and not men. It's kind of a role reversal of what we usually have, of how the men are more favored than the women. Not on Twitch, it seems like these e-girls can get away with pretty much the majority of shit they want to. So Twitch, big oopsie on that part, streaming that to Ninja's fans, his young fans, the views, all of that stuff. Twitch got into big trouble about that. Ninja was considering a lawsuit. I'm not sure about how that's going to go, so I'm not going to say anything about that yet. Because obviously, I am a small-time podcaster. I don't want to try and get sued by nobody. I ain't got that kind of money. I ain't even got enough money for this microphone set up, and that was only $15. So, you know, your boy ain't trying to get sued by nobody. So in our last story, which I'm going to discuss today, is also going to mention Twitch. This isn't going to be a bad thing on Twitch. You know, the Twitch over party and all that stuff has been pretty big on the company. This is not really concerning the company, though. This is concerning a couple of streamers who are known by the group, collective group name of New Legacy Inc. And if you haven't heard of New Legacy Inc., go check them out. I'll leave their link in the description below. They are doing their Rumblethon Marathon. It's over 2 days, August 16th and August 17th. It's going to be Thursday and Friday this week. It's for a good cause. It's to raise money for charity. It is for the Fighting Back cause, so if you haven't checked them out, check them out. Over 2 days, they'll be streaming over 30 wrestling video games, 10-hour streams apiece, hopefully. They do great work, these guys. These guys do this every year, and they have for many, many years. They're doing some good work. 2014, they raised $10,000. 2015, they also raised $10,000. In 16, they raised $18,000. 2017, they raised $27,000. And in 2018, just last year, $28,709. They have risen over $94,000 in those 4 or 5 years for the Canadian Cancer Society Fighting Back. So if you guys have time, even if you're not into that kind of games like wrestling or stuff like that, please check them out. Please give them your support. Say the Synopsis sent you. You know, it's not going to do much. Like, we're not big, we're not well known, but just let them know that people are there to support them. Anything you can give them to help would be fantastic. If not, just go by there, support the streams, and show them your love. And with that being said, let's get into our main subject today, which is going to be the paranormal investigations of those little green men. Or are they little green men? Are they just people in our everyday lives who we have yet to see and just failed not to notice what is happening around us? Stay tuned for all that and more as we discuss aliens right here on The Synopsis. It's the age-old question, isn't it? Are aliens real? Have we seen them? Are these little green men among us? What are UFOs? Are they real? Are they the government? What is everything and anything to do with aliens? Let's discuss this a little bit. Now, as kids growing up, we all knew what aliens were. They were the little green men with three eyes, long antennas, and they spoke in some weird language that nobody could quite understand, right? That's kind of the imagery that everybody got as kids of what aliens are. But is there more to that? Now, obviously there's more to that. We live in a universe which is ever-extending. The whole entire solar system is ever-expanding, and outside of our solar system are more solar systems, and more stars, and more planets. The whole universe as one is billions and billions and billions and billions of years old. Now, scientists have said it would take a couple million years for us to travel from one side of the solar system to the other side. So take that into consideration, will you, while we are discussing aliens and all this. Because everyone is either like, aliens exist or they don't exist. And everyone who believes in aliens existing, according to the mainstream media and everything, they're crazy. I've been abducted by aliens. No, you haven't. You're crazy. Like, typically, all the people who have been abducted by aliens are people who live in farms or stuff like that. And they speak kind of funny and all this shit. But the reality of the situation is this. If aliens really have abducted these people, then why wouldn't they let them talk? Obviously, the general consensus is that aliens aren't real, right? That they don't exist, that it's just something that somebody's making up for their quick 2 minutes of fame, their 15-minute glory, or whatever it may be, right? Surely. Surely no possible way an alien would abduct somebody and then allow them to talk about it. Or could they? That's what we're going to discuss today here on The Synopsis. And how we're going to talk about this is we're going to do a little backstory first. We talked about the universe just moments ago, about how it is always ever expanding, and it will take a couple of million light years to get from one end to the other. So why exactly haven't we made contact with any aliens yet? Well, maybe we already have, guys. Maybe because of how long our timeline is, a couple of million light years, we have already made contact, but it's taken so long for it to get back to us, we have yet to receive it. Maybe that's a possibility. Another possibility is maybe that we can't travel that far into the solar system, into the universe yet, to actually find another form of life. And we have to really consider that when we're talking about this conversation about extraterrestrials and, you know, UFOs and stuff like that. Because If we are so far away from another planet, we cannot be the only planet in the whole entire solar system, the whole entire universe, that is able to sustain life like we have it. There is no way, the odds are astronomical, that we are the only planet ever in existence to harbor life. Maybe there were planets before us, billions of years ago, that are just rocks and stars now because it took so long for them to be shown on our solar system, on our radar, that they're already turned into rocks and stone, but they're already beyond existence. You can really think about that, because a lot of the stars that you see in the air right now, if you look up, into the sky at night and you see all those stars, the chances are all those stars are already dead. And that sounds kind of grim, but the reality of the situation is just that. It takes so long for the light to travel from the star to the Earth that by the time you see the actual star, it's probably already been extinguished. There's a chance that you may look up one day and see a star explode, and that's because it took so long for it to come down to our Earth. You are basically watching history in your lifetime. Let that sit in for a second. You are watching the history of the universe unfold in front of you because of how long it takes for light to travel to Earth. That's jaw-dropping. So if that's the case with stars, then why isn't that the case with aliens? Why isn't that the case with UFOs? How come we're seeing all these unidentified objects flying around there? Now obviously Area 51 was a meme most recently, and everyone was making fun of the Area 51 meme. Let's storm it, let's capture them aliens and stuff like that. But the reality is, that could be a realistic scenario of the aliens being here already. What is protected in Area 51? Now, why is Area 51 protected by so many guards? It has to be there for a reason. Now, they say a lot of the UFO sightings are because of Area 51. They've seen UFO sightings in Area 51. It only makes sense for the government to try and keep it on lock and to try and keep that area off of perimeters, right? So the public don't go in there, so the aliens aren't caught on camera or let out or anything like that. Or could it be because Area 51 is right down that old route highway where a lot of convicts are trying to escape from Nevada's prisons, and then that's why they say no hitchhiking? That could be a reason too, right? We don't know. We don't know for sure. But what we do know is that the thought of aliens has been around the world for hundreds of years. And it all started way back when it came to like the lizard people or the crab people or stuff like that. It's always been a running joke that aliens are real but not real. And what I mean by that is that people believe in them, but they don't want to admit they believe in them because they're not sure how to be perceived by the public. If you came out straight up and were like, I believe in aliens, cool. Everyone be like, well, you're stupid, that's for kids, right? But if you bring up a point of, okay, well, we live in a universe billions of light years apart from each other, there's no way we are the only people in the world, okay? So that's one theory right there. In the whole universe, we can't be the only people, simple as that. The next theory is the parallel universe theory, where we've talked about parallel universes before. We've talked about multi-dimensions before in our previous podcast. If you haven't checked them out, go check them out. I believe it was episode 13 or 12. We discussed that it was in the Mandela Effect that we spoke about it. So if you haven't checked those out for sure. And we can also talk about other theories like the Antarctica theory or the Gateway theory. You know, there's many things. The Fermi Paradox, that's another theory. There are many theories about aliens, and that is what we are going to discuss right now. So the other thing to talk about is the universe has been so far apart that we've already made contact with intelligent life forms, and it just hasn't come back to us yet. Now, the idea of UFOs is kind of obsolete at this point. They are now known as AFOs, I believe it is, or IFOs, something like. But UFO is an unidentified flying object. They've now changed that because the flying objects are no longer unidentified. They are actually identified as flying objects, like it's an alien flying object or something like that. I can't remember the exact wording they used, but most recently in the media, people have been releasing more and more information suggesting that aliens and extraterrestrial life form is already up on Earth. And I know you're sitting there thinking, well, Zach, what the hell, we haven't heard about this. But if you were to Google right now, aliens are on Earth, there are things from the New York Times, the LA Times, NBC, CNN, all these news companies that are saying there have been confirmed cases of aliens or flying objects around the sky that people have seen, people have reported, and the government have confirmed that they are real. And I know it's kind of crazy to really think about, because you're like, okay, well, I haven't really heard of that, so how is it getting through the radar? Well, think about it like this. If it's printed in a newspaper, who reads a newspaper anymore, realistically? Everything's found online. It's all on Twitter. It's all on your Facebook, all on your Instagram, whatever it may be. All of the news is now fed to us digitally. So the press can easily release stuff on newspaper and get away with it. The press can release a lot of stuff on TV now and get away with it. Think about that. We have Hulu. We have Netflix. We have Tubi. We have Crunchyroll. We have Vizio, we have Vudu, we have Amazon Prime, YouTube, all of these services we can use now. So why does TV exist anymore? Realistically, why is there cable still? A lot of people won't even pay for a cable bill, let alone check out what's on the news for a cable. So all these things can be released on the news and no one's going to know the wiser. A lot of this information has already been put out there. With it being in the news and with it being in print and online and stuff, that information's already out there. And the CIA's way of saying it is like, well, hey, we already told you guys, you know, you can't be mad at us. And that's how everything goes. So this brings us into the concept of the gateway process. Now, the gateway process was a meditation lesson that taught humans to harness their own electromagnetic energy waves, which come from their body, and it also controls their brain waves and how to detach themselves from time and space. Now, the gateway theory is as followed. People believe that aliens are already on a different electromagnetic field to us, and they're on a different wavelength completely. The gateway process is apparently regular civilian people can do this if they are trained correctly. There are people online claiming they can train people correctly to do all this stuff. Personally, it seems a little bit out there, but we're going to discuss it regardless because, you know, that's what we do in the synopsis. We're not going to judge, we're just going to dive down the rabbit hole. And trust me, this is a rabbit hole to be dove upon. Or dove upon. English, bad, not good language, me man, rah. So the gateway process says aliens are already here on Earth, using different electromagnetic fields and different wavelengths, okay? So aliens have been here the whole entire time, according to this theory of the gateway theory, and now people are only just opening up to the idea of extraterrestrial beings, aliens, whatever you want to call them. They are opening up to the idea now because they are managing to change their electromagnetic field and their wavelengths. Now, I did discuss this on another podcast with the Mandela Effect because it was more fresh in my memory, but there was a Talk is Jericho podcast. If you haven't listened to Talk is Jericho, if you're a wrestling fan, highly recommend it. If not, still listen to it. He also is a lead singer for a band called Fozzy. They have over 18 million plays on Spotify and YouTube and all this. They're a decent little rock band. They're a good band. So check him out. But there was a podcast that he did, and it was with a gentleman, I believe his name was SGK. And SGK was this government previous. He has a guy on the inside who's basically telling him about aliens. And his theory went, you know, the gateway theory is correct. There's different electromagnetic fields that aliens are on. And once you tap into those electromagnetic fields, you can speak to these aliens and you can communicate with them. And they're not here to harm us. They're not here to do anything. They're here to work with us, to help us, and to effectively be another race with us. Which, I was like, okay, cool. But how does he know this? Apparently he has a man on the inside. And this man on the inside is telling him information that he can then tell the public about the next find and aliens and all this stuff. And his newest theory is that they're going to find an underground city that they can tell is made by aliens and it will pre-exist any buildings in time. Now, that is a very bold claim, my boys. First of all, you're claiming that there's an underground city randomly in the middle of the ocean, kind of like the lost city of Atlantis, right? Now, we all know the story about the lost city of Atlantis. It's where Hercules was from, right? It was where the Greek gods was from. It's where pretty much all civilization started, if you are into the Greek mythology. Now, I'm not trying to start a religion debate. I'm not about that. I'm not about you believe in whatever you want to believe, okay? This is a science debate today. This is an alien debate. But I'm saying this theory of him saying there's an underground water temple that is being made by aliens is pretty sounding of what to Atlantis was. So his theory is that this temple is going to be found. They found these other things he claimed, like this crater was made of this. He also claimed that the moon was actually made of metal, not cheese, right? The moon is made of cheese. I don't care who you are. The moon is made of cheese, damn it. But he said that the moon was made of steel metal, like a steel type substance of metal. And that's going to be the next big find after this underwater temple. Well, first things first, I'm still trying to find this underwater temple, okay? I've yet to hear any release on the news about this underwater temple being there. And trust me, when that's found, if that's found, it will make the rounds on Twitter, it will make the rounds on YouTube, Facebook, anything, Instagram, you name it, it will make its rounds. So once that hits, hey, you heard it here, fifth hand or second hand, whatever it may be, you heard it here on the synopsis that this could be a potential thing. So his idea is that this is going to happen, and this is all because of the gateway process. His inside source can use this gateway process to communicate with these aliens, as we're calling them. They said they don't like to be called aliens because they've lived here as long as we have, if not longer. So if anything, we're the aliens. And it comes back to that whole, you know, humans versus nature kind of discussion that we have in the past about if humans were here first, the animals, what we're doing to destroy nature. The aliens are apparently thinking the same thing, that humans destroyed the planet and it's screwing everything over and they're going to take over soon and they're going to show us the way to save the planet and save everything that's in danger. Apparently, when the planet's near the end of it's 12 years, which we're about to hit right now. In 12 years, the ice caps are going to be beyond repair. It's all going to go to shit. The ice caps are going to rise. The sea levels are going to rise. It's all going to go to shit. That's when the aliens are going to apparently make their appearance and show us the way and show us how to save everything. It's a little bit late, guys. Maybe you should have shown us that, oh, I don't know, about 20 to 30 years ago. So if you're listening, aliens, hey, time's ticking. Where you at? Now, as you guys know, real quick, while I'm recording my podcast, sometimes I do get audio and technical difficulties. It's a very rare occurrence, but sometimes it does happen. And I just realized I was getting some technical difficulties, while I was recording this segment here about the gateway process and about the human versus nature and all that kind of stuff. Ironically, I don't know if this is just coincidence, but I just had to edit a little bit out of the gateway process. So if it jumped around a little bit, I'm sorry, but the way the sound dropped out was making it so I had to cut. But the when it dropped out of the sound is when I was talking about the CIA training people on this gateway process and exactly what the process was. And I found that a little bit kind of creepy. And then my next audio dropped out when I was talking about how the aliens were going to show up before the ice caps melt and all that stuff. And as I'm saying this right now, my audio also just blipped a little bit and kind of did an error. So I'm kind of wondering now, hey, you know what? This electromagnetic field and wavelength may not be so much of a bad theory after all, because apparently, when I'm trying to talk about this shit, it just wants to keep jumping around. That kind of is a little bit suspect to me. Now, it may be a coincidence, and it probably is a coincidence, let's be honest, but that is one hell of a coincidence that both times I've tried talking about the CIA and the wavelength projects, is both times my audio has seemed to desync and break. So I'm not too sure how to think about that. But overall, the gateway process, for the ones who are just wanting a quick idea, is that we can unsync ourselves from our wavelengths, from our brain waves, and we can communicate with others, and that's where the aliens are hiding. That's kind of into the parallel universe theory, but that's what electromagnetic field is where you can just slip into that different field, and that's where the aliens are hiding, right in plain sight. They could be living in your house, they could be working with you at your job, and you just can't see them because they're just on that different wavelength, which means that if you can get to their wavelength, hey, you're set. You're going to make millions of dollars because they're going to be like, yo, what the fuck is this Mr. Alien saying over here? Why he hiding so much? That's my point, is if these aliens or these extraterrestrials are here and they are on this planet and they are hiding just out of view or just out of sight on a different wavelength, whatever it may be, why wait so long to let yourself know? Humanity has pretty much proven that it can't take care of itself. It's kind of proven it can fuck everything up, okay? So if they're out there and they're on these wavelengths, then please, by all means, come and try and save humanity, because Lord knows we need it right now. With the gateway process being told, let's move on to another alien paradox, which is the Fermi paradox. We're going to talk about that, and then we're going to talk about a thing that's just gone viral on Twitter. It was by a man named Nick Hinton, and it's about the Antarctica. And this is a mixture of aliens and the Antarctica in general. So let's talk about the Fermi paradox first, then we're going to talk about Antarctica, and then we're going to wind the podcast down, because you know how we do, we got to get on a little more this time online. So right after this quick commercial break, we are going to discuss the Fermi paradox, and spoiler, this commercial break isn't going to be by Anchor, but it's going to be by something else, so check this out. Okay, guys, you really think we didn't have a sponsor apart from Anchor? You must be tripping. Anchor is the only one willing to sponsor us right now. But if you have a product or something you would like us to sponsor, hit us up on Twitter at The Synopsis Pod or at Instagram at The Synopsis Podcast. We will happily promote your product. We can work out some details there. We are more than happy to try and welcome people into the market, shout out, produce whatever they would like, because that's what it's all about at the end of the day, guys. It's about making people happy, and it's about working together to try and make life a little better. So with that being said, let's discuss something that we talked about earlier on in the podcast, and that is the Fermi Paradox. And the Fermi Paradox refers to the physicist Enrico Fermi. And this paradox is basically Fermi and his fellow physicists were having a conversation about UFOs and how they were recently reported. And Fermi basically said, "Where are they? Don't you ever wonder where everybody is? Or where is everybody?" And the idea is this. Fermi believed that there was civilization in other places of the Milky Way. Now, we discussed this a little bit earlier in the podcast, but basically his theory is this. There are millions of planets, millions of stars in the Milky Way. It's far too vast for us to know every single one. So there has to be form of life or signs of life or extraterrestrial life somewhere in that Milky Way. And at this point in the day, it was 1950, he said, "Well, why haven't they already reached us? Why has it been such a hassle?" And that's what the paradox is. The function involved is that there's 200 to 400 billion stars in the Milky Way. That's 200 to 400 billion stars, okay? There's over 70 sextillion, which is 7 to 10 to the power of 22. So, 22 zeros on top of that 10. Just write that down if you want. That's how many observable universes there are. So how can life not exist on any of them apart from ours? There is no way that we are the only universe that has forms of life. It's not scientifically possible. If there is over 70 sextillion planets, universes, whatever it may be, the percentage is high enough that there are more civilizations in the Milky Way and that the Earth is just but a typical planet that we just got lucky, that we lived on, that we found out about because we're living on it, and we just have yet to seen more other living planets like ours because they're so far away. This brought up the second part, though, of the Fermi Paradox, in which he's saying, okay, if there is intelligent life out there, and it's been millions of years, then they have somehow either A, gone into extinction, or B, they have colonized new habitats in which they would be able to advance technologically, advance like with their species and whatever it may be, and even potentially colonize their own star system. So now the paradox can be asked in two ways. The first is, why are no aliens or their artifacts found on Earth or in the solar system if interstellar travel is possible? Even the slow kind, nearly within the reach of technology of Earth, it would still take 5 million to 50 million years to colonize the galaxy. Okay, now the second question is, why do we see no signs of intelligent life elsewhere in the universe apart from our universe? So again, one of those things, thinking about, if there's intelligent life in another universe, then why hasn't it reached out? Why hasn't it changed colonies? Why hasn't it habitized somewhere else? The whole idea of extraterrestrial activity is based on the solar surface, that aliens want to come to Earth to take over Earth or to live on Earth. This may not be the case according to the Fermi Paradox. The paradox is a suggestion that either A, all alien life forms and everything else has gone into extinction and we are the only planet basically left because we have not yet been extinct, either whether it be because of our sun or the solar system or whatever it may be, okay? So that is the idea that is coming around on the Fermi Paradox, is that we're the only ones surviving because we have got lucky thus far. Or the flip side of the paradox is that, well, these aliens are so smart, these extraterrestrials are so smart, they've colonized the whole entire universe, a whole galaxy, a whole solar system that is theirs, that they have managed to somehow barrier or protect from us discovering. And both of these can be justified. I mean, think about it. Earth's nitrogen and oxygen is the perfect amount for us as humans to live and breathe on. Now, you have to think of it as well, though. We have all these animals. We always think about the Earth, about how it has the perfect amount of oxygen and nitrogen and carbon dioxide for humans to live. But a lot of animals live on this too, and this doesn't include underwater animals, which suggests to me that it's not just a case of us being a very lucky planet and having all these right, but it symbolizes that potentially there's more planets just like us, that we're not just as lucky, but there's more planets out there which can harbor and habitat multiple creatures like what we have on their planets. And it may be slightly different. It may be, okay, well, these aliens, quote-unquote, actually have a different internal organ system to us. They live off carbon dioxide instead of oxygen, but that's because their body has evolved over time to meet the demands of their habitat. It could be that their fish are slightly different and they have legs, and that's because the water got too aggressive for them to live in, so then they had to live on land. Evolution is a mystery, okay? And that's not just a song. Evolution is mysterious in many ways, shapes, and forms. So for us to be ignorant enough to say, hey, it's just us and we're the only one to exist, that's that, it seems very far-fetched. Now again, I'm not getting into the religion debate or anything like that, but the fact of the matter is this, even if you believe that a higher power created the Earth, there's nothing in any of the Bibles, the Quran, the Tawbah, I think that's what it's called, the things that the Jewish folk read, I can't remember what it's called, sorry if I offend, I cannot remember off the top of my head, I do apologize. But even if you believe in any of that, nowhere in any of those books does it say about creating universes or Milky Ways or galaxies. Not to my knowledge. So here we are sitting on this Earth with all these galaxies and universes around us, and there's nothing mentioned in that in any of your books that you're reading or believing in. And again, that's not me trying to force science down you, that's just me using the facts that I'm dealt with on this podcast that I'm researching. These are the facts that I am dealing with. So there has to be some form of extraterrestrial life or some form of evidence that is out there. And again, we go back to the aliens are already on Earth. Well, if they are, then surely it's about time that they made themselves present and made themselves known. So we know, not what we're dealing with, maybe they're just like, hey, these humans, they're not ones to fuck with. They're like really shitty people. They're really screwing up their planet. We don't want to fuck up ours. And honestly, if that was the case, shit, I won't blame them. We are fucking up the world. We are fucking up our countries, our home planet. This is our planet, people. And we're still polluting it. We're still emitting so much carbon dioxide into the world. We're still polluting it. Everything is fucked on Earth right now. And I'll be damned if I'm going down without swinging. If I get 3 or 4 people who listen to this podcast to switch the way they live, to not use plastic straws every day, to not use plastic every day without recycling, or not use stuff like that, then hey, at least I've made a little bit of a difference to potentially have my daughter grow up in a world that's better than it's predicted to go on. So if these aliens are really with us right now, and they see that, then why the hell would they try and save us? I wouldn't. I would try and get rid of the erratic, get rid of the race altogether. Fuck it. What good are we to an intergalactic species if we can't even deal with our own species, huh? Like, honestly, what good are we to them if we can't even deal with us? That's what you got to think about. Now, if we're talking millions of galaxies and light years away, then yes, there definitely is extraterrestrial life out there somewhere, whether it be the little green men that you believe in, or humans like us, or even elves or something like that, I don't know. Or we have all these mysterious characters that are in the world. Like, how did people come up with these? How did people come up with the idea of elves? Like, realistically, how did we come up with the idea of elves or giants or, you know, Bigfoot, stuff like that? How did we come up with those? It wasn't just one day a guy said, oh yeah, that's an elf. Like, you don't do that. There had to have been a story, or somebody had heard something. Everything has an origin point. Everything has a beginning, a middle, and an end. That is life, that is facts. There is nothing in the world that doesn't have a beginning, a middle, and an end. These stories have a beginning. And we have to find that beginning to figure out the origins of where it came from, and then from those origins, we can figure out, hey, have we been here all alone, or is there something more at play here? And that's where it comes down to, like, the extra galaxies, and the extra Milky Way, and the solar system. There has to be more out there than just us as humans and life as we know it. And that's where the Fermi paradox really tries to poke the idea home that if they aren't there, then where the fuck are they? Like, where are they? That's the great question. Now, In the Fermi paradox, there is a thing called the Great Filter, and the Great Filter is whatever prevents dead matter from giving rise in time to expanding, lasting life. And the idea is that the Great Filter is basically what the brain is, and is what the brain is only capable of making possible in its mind. And that is the complex logical solution. So, for example, we go back to the previous one we discussed with the gateway theory. And the gateway theory said about the electromagnetic brainwaves and the different wavelengths. Now, the idea of this scale in the Fermi paradox is that the brain cannot function past a certain point. So the great filter would be that point of wavelengths and brainwaves. We can't go past that, so we can't see what's beyond that, which means we can only see what is in our physical manifestation as of right now. The great filter is suggesting that if we remove that filter somehow from the brain and the logic that the brain thinks, because when you think of aliens or something like that, your brain logically thinks this isn't real. When you talk about witches or werewolves or elves or stuff like leprechauns, this isn't real. These are kids' stories. These are things we tell to children. That's the logic in our brain working. But what if the logic is the filter? And the filter is what is stopping us from seeing all these things. And that's what Fermi's paradox is. Is that if we remove this filter somehow from the brain, could we potentially see other things in the world that we didn't see before? You know, like when people take magic mushrooms or something like that, they say they see the world clearer, they see it brighter, they see stuff they've never seen before. It's like they have reawoken. And there is a tribe in Africa, and I can't remember what the tea is called. I can look it up real quick, but I'll do that another time. But basically, they take this drink, it puts you on some like hallucinogenic type shit, and you see the world completely differently. You see brighter colors, you see more. It's like a vision quest almost. And that's what the idea of the great filter is to remove that filter from the brain to give you that ultimate vision quest to see everything as what it truly is and not as what your mind or you have been trained to see as perception is reality. And that comes into again with the government conspiracies of what the gateway theory is. And the gateway theory and the Fermi paradox basically go hand in hand. The gateway theory is saying the government is teaching us at a young age to see, like I said, perception is reality. You see it, it's real, that's it. If you can't see it, it's not real. That's the end of the discussion. Fermi then said, well, hang on, what if you're lying? What if all this is one big scam? And what if everything that we know isn't reality because we can't see it? What if we could see the unseen? And that's the great filter. If you could see the unseen, what would we see? And I sound like a Dr. Seuss book right now, like Sam I Am or Green's Eggs and Ham. But if you could see what was unseen, would there be anything to see? Think about that if you see it, right? Yeah, no, it sounds a little crazy, and it sounds like I'm going way, but hey, we're down the rabbit hole, and this is what we do here on the synopsis. But put that in motion. The ocean, put the ocean, motion in the ocean, right, yeah, because that wasn't, I need to stop rhyming. There was just a shark discovered that was 394 years old, first of its kind we discovered, and it said it could live up to 400 years. So that bitch has been here for nearly 400 years, right? We didn't find out about it until last week. We're in 2019, and that's just AD. That's after Domini, after the birth of Jesus, which they said is zero. And BC is before the birth of Jesus. That's what BC stands for, before Christ. So we have only just discovered this animal, 2019 AD, which who knows how long it has been on this planet, on this Earth, underwater. Water is only 5% discovered. The rest of the ocean, the rest of the seabeds, is uncharted territory. You can have seabeds that go hundreds of thousands of feet low. We don't have the technology to go that low, but we know they're there. We know they're there because we can see how far it goes. We can use science to average the distance of light to see how far that tunnel goes in that deep sea crevice. That's why the ocean is so uncharted. That's why so many people are like, holy shit, we don't know what's in there. So if there's only one shark that we just found from 400 years ago, give or take, like 400 years ago is the best one to say, because basically it's a 400-year-old shark. So 400 years ago was what, 1600? 1500, 1600? That's dinosaur shit, right? like the 1600s, Victorian time, shit like that. And we're only just discovering the shark. The shark could be a dinosaur. It could be a living, breathing dinosaur, and we only just discovered about it. Okay? So who's to say about the aliens and shit not being just around the corner, just being on a different planet, and we just haven't discovered them yet? Or they haven't discovered us because it's uncharted territory. We're... That shark is the filter, the great filter. Just because we didn't see it before, it never means it wasn't there. It was still there. Just because we didn't see it doesn't mean it didn't exist. It existed, but it existed in hiding. It existed unfounded, like the dodo. The dodo is now extinct. We have extinct animals. It doesn't mean they didn't exist. In 100 years, are we going to say these animals didn't exist? People are going to be like, oh, I never saw one, so how do we know it's not a fairy tale? How do we know the dodo is not real? How do we know that a pelican is real, you know? If the giraffes go extinct, how do we know a giraffe was real? Think about it. A giraffe is an animal with this giant-ass neck that eats trees and looks like it doesn't belong. That sounds like a fairy tale. If you haven't seen a giraffe in person, ever, you could see that and be like, well, this is something made up. So how do we know this hasn't happened with other things like elves or creatures and stuff like that? I'm not saying that fairy tales are real. Don't put that out there. What I'm saying is, over the hundreds of years, you know, stuff has been lost in time. Now, like I said, with the giraffes, in 200 years, if we have extinction on giraffes, and nobody knows what a giraffe is, or they just see it in books or something, how do they know that's not photoshopped or doctored or a story or a tale? Like, we have pictures of the Gruffalo. Gruffalo is something that Dr. Seuss made up. But imagine if it wasn't. Imagine if it was something that somebody said existed back in the day. We have no way of proving it and no way of disproving it. You could be like, well, yeah, bones and stuff like that, right, but you didn't find these bones for this shark that's nearly 400 years old. So you're telling me this is a new species of shark? Well, it's not, is it? It's not a new species if it's nearly 400 years old. A new species is something that came along really recently and is new. Just because we found it recently doesn't mean it makes it new. It's still an old species. But we didn't know about this shark. We didn't know it had bones. We didn't know it had a structure. We didn't know it had a lifespan. So you can't tell me that this wasn't a real animal just because we didn't have evidence. We had evidence, we just couldn't find it. And that's the idea of what these aliens are on these magnetic wavelengths and on these electro wavelengths, is that just because you can't see them doesn't mean they aren't there. And the Fermi paradox is going really in depth to that, into the great filter, thinking about, okay, well, if you don't see it just because you haven't found bones, who knows, aliens could have been on this world already. And the way that we had the meteors hit the Earth, and we had that wipe out dinosaurs and stuff, we had Pompeii, we've had Hiroshima, Nakawama, we've had a lot of things that have been natural disasters and human-made disasters. Every single disaster could effectively just be burying more things under thousands and thousands of pounds of dirt, or mud, or gravel, or water, or whatever it may be. Who are we to say that aliens didn't bury their deceased at sea and put them into a point where it was so deep that you could never find their bodies? Think about that. Imagine if we went deep sea diving one day and you went 5,000 feet below the surface, 10,000 feet, whatever it may be, and you saw a pile of bones, and it was just loads of rows of bones. They all looked really weird, and you just discovered aliens. Would they be called aliens? Would they be named after you? Like, what would the process be? Would now the government try and hide that? Would that be something that would be covered up? Or would people be like, holy shit, we found evidence. We finally found the missing link. Like how you have the missing link in evolution. Until it was found, you had that missing link of, this has to be there somewhere. We just need to find it. And it's not a case of, we need to find it. It's a case of, when we find the missing link between this extraterrestrial living and us living as humans. Could it be a simple case of them living before us, or them colonizing somewhere else, and then us finding that colony and being like, oh shit, they used to live here, they must have moved on, and now we're playing the catch-up, kind of like The Amazing Race, almost. So that's something to think about, and that's what the Fermi paradox really puts into play, as well. If you mix it with the Gateway Conspiracy, then you have a lot of things to think about. So with that being said, guys, I know that was a little bit of a long segment, but hey, we enjoy our long segments here on The Synopsis. It kind of makes the podcast go by a little bit faster, and when you can really get into something you're talking about, something you can really discuss and have some feelings about and have a lot of research on, and stuff like this is so open to interpretations that you can legitimately talk for hours upon hours and just get lost in what you're discussing. Not because it's just a bunch of bullshit or blah, 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 as my daughter would say, blah, 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 blah. But it's a case of so many theories and so little evidence. And I don't mean evidence to prove that what we're discussing is real, but I'm talking about evidence to support what we're saying, like we said with the shark. If you didn't know that shark was alive 400 years ago, he has been. Just because there wasn't evidence doesn't mean he didn't exist. And the same thing goes with this extraterrestrial activity, with the UFOs and all that stuff, Area 51, all of it. Just because there is a lack of knowledge, it makes people fear it more. I feel like that's a common theme in life and ultimately in death. The biggest fear people have of death is the fear of the unknown. And it's the biggest fear I think we all have as humans. It's our one humanity flaw. It's the fear of the unknown. And that's what drives us to the murders. That's what drives us to the shootings. That's what drives us to insanity, is the fear of the unknown. How many times have you thought about quitting your job on a daily basis and you go to do it, but the fear of the unknown? I don't know if I'm going to find another job. I don't know if I'm going to be able to pay this month's bills. I don't know if I'm going to be able to do anything after this. It's the fear of the unknown that stops you from doing it. And that's what it is with the extraterrestrial activity, the UFOs, all that stuff. Humans are scared of the unknown, and that could be a big factor as to why we still haven't made contact with anyone or anything. Is that big old fear of, hey, if we actually found another entity, another being, another race or whatever it may be, would we fear them? Would we attack them? As humans, in humanity, what would we do? Would we welcome them? Would we welcome a brand new group into our domain, into the Earth, and live with them? Or what would we be like, yo, we're going to show them who's in charge right now? And then we have the situation of us killing aliens or trying to enslave them or trying to do multiple things as humanity has done in the past. We don't need to bring that up, but think about how much we have done in the past as humans and how fucked we have made the world become, or as it has been. We think about Hitler, we think about slavery, we think about World War One and World War Two, the Vietnam War, the Korean War, the bombings on Hiroshima, the Gulf War. Like, there's so many wars and incidences where we have just said, fuck it, let's solve everything with violence, and we haven't really thought about it. So if an alien was to come into this world, what was our first instinct to be? Would it be violence or would it be sympathy? And that's something that we really have to think about if we're legit about trying to communicate or trying to converse with another life form. How are we going to welcome that? If we had a talking dog tomorrow, everyone makes fun. If you had a talking dog, you have $1 million. Right, you would. But what would people do when they realized a dog could talk? Now do dogs suddenly rank up there with humans? They already should. Animals should have rights just like humans do. There's no reason why not. They're a living, breathing animal that has thoughts and feelings just like we do. They just can't communicate it as well as we can because we've evolved to that stature. Now, I know a lot of you are like, well, evolution, blah, blah, blah. If I was from a monkey, why are there still monkeys? Because evolution doesn't work like that. Evolution is the slow build-up over time of things changing to adapt to the lifestyle. So as humans, maybe we didn't need to do what the monkeys did because we learned different ways of living. And same with dogs. Dogs didn't need to evolve to talk and do stuff like that because they learned how to communicate and live without being able to do that. So animals should already have the rights that we do as humans. But if an animal was to start talking to us the next day, imagine what kind of shit show media circus frenzy that would be. Would we be scared of it? Would we communicate with it? Would we be like, oh, this is really cool, this is an anomaly. Let's just go with the flow and hope for the best. Like, no. I don't know what we would do as humans. I'm afraid to believe what we would do as humans because most of the time it'd be something pretty bad. And I don't want to live in a world like that. So if an alien does come into contact with us, please, if you do for whatever reason come into contact with an alien or something like that, be chill with it, relax, talk to it, you know what I mean? Like, have fun with them. Don't be scared, don't be threatened, unless obviously they're like threatening to kill you or something. Then you know what, maybe you should be scared. But realistically, that isn't what should be going on. Now we've got the paradox and the gateway theory out of the way, there is one last thing we're going to talk about, and that is what is happening on Twitter right now from Nick Hinton. His at is at Nick Hinton with two N's at the end, and it's about Antarctica. And it's a very good conspiracy theory. Again, this is not factual evidence. This is just a theory. And we're going to discuss this theory about Antarctica after this quick commercial break. We are going to break it down. I'm going to give you my thoughts. And we're going to round off like we always do with a brief recap of the synopsis and a pretty old grand old message. So stay tuned, and we will talk about Antarctica right after this. Alright guys, so winding down in the podcast, we're going to talk about this Antarctica conspiracy thread, and I'm going to read through it as I read it myself. It's apparently been very popular on the Twitters, so let's talk about it. It starts off like this. Antarctica is one of the few places left on Earth that remains virtually untouched by humans. There is no native population and is not controlled by any particular country. It's difficult to get to, and when you get there, it is limited. There are 16 restricted areas in Antarctica, and these are restrictions enforced by the Antarctic Treaty. The treaty includes 12 countries, and it's odd that the world leaders cannot agree on anything, but they agree on this. The Nazis were known for their outlandish and otherworldly beliefs, also had an interest in the barren continent. They explored the Antarctic region and even claimed a large plot of land where they named it New Swabia, which was named after a place in Germany. After World War II, Admiral E. Byrd led 4,000 military troops from the US, Britain and Australia in what was basically an invasion of Antarctica. It was known as Operation High Jump. It resulted in several casualties and missing catapult ship, the USS Pine Island. Conspiracy theorists say this was because of a battle with a fleet of UFOs. While this is unconfirmed, it is odd that right after the failed mission, Admiral Byrd declared it was imperative that we must take immediate defensive measures against this hostile region. During this time, he was hospitalized and not allowed to hold any more conferences. He died shortly after. According to his private journal, there was an entrance to a whole other world in Antarctica, which he ordered to remain silent about for the rest of his life. The Nazis were obsessed with the supposed human Aryan race. The Aryans were supposed to be Hyperborea, a legendary continent that existed beyond the poles, and that's what the aliens were. 60 years later, Antarctica has started to make the nightly news again. Rumors have started circulating that people have found remnants of an ancient civilization. The pyramids that have been found have been debunked as big mountains. Antarctica has also had some recently strange guests. John Kerry, a well-known Skulls and Bones member, a famous religious Russian leader, and a former astronaut, Buzz Aldrin, paid a visit a few years back, but they don't know why. Buzz Aldrin ended up cutting his trip short and was medically evacuated. He supposedly tweeted shortly later that we are all in danger and it is evil itself, with a picture of the mountains from the Antarctica. People may say that this is fake, but they're not sure. Something evil lies beneath the ice. According to H.P. Lovecraft, the horror writer who had an obsession with the Antarctica, the sunken city of Raleigh, which is located at 47 degrees south and 126 west in the South Pacific Ocean, is said to imprison the dark deity Cthulhu. It is mentioned in 1997, there was a bloop sound recorded at almost the exact same coordinates that resembled that of a living creature, far more powerful than any caused from animals on Earth. Now, this theory basically is saying that in the Antarctica, there is a group area that has UFO or ancient civilization life of aliens, and is being protected by the countries because they don't want the public to find out about it. Now, this interest, it was very interesting and intrigued me a lot, because obviously looking into this alien stuff for the research for the podcast, I stumbled across this and I was like, holy crap, this is something I haven't seen, or something that I haven't really spoken about. So, let me start off by saying the legendary superhuman Aryan race, the Hyperborea. If this is true, this explains a lot of things, but it doesn't explain, obviously, why Hitler was out to try and kill the Jewish people when Auschwitz happened and all that, and it was a horrible time for everybody. We don't need to discuss that, but that being a superhuman race, surely if this superhuman race saw what was going on, they would try and make a stop to it and be like, hey, listen, we can figure this out just by ourselves. We don't need you to try and do that too. What I find the most interesting about this is regarding Admiral E. Byrd. With him saying that we need to try and take dramatic actions and immediate defense measures against hostile regions, and then being ordered not to talk about it for the rest of his life. Now, the places that was examined in Antarctica, and you can look all this up online, there was a black background figure, it's a shaded relief digital elevation modeled of Antarctica, derived of ice sat from 2007. And it shows these three areas that were looked upon by Admiral Byrd. And basically it's saying these are where these UFOs or these aliens are. Now these pyramids, when you look at them, they don't look like mountains. They are perfectly triangle like we have on the Egyptian pyramids. Effectively, there's the Egyptian pyramids. But they're saying they're mountains. They are perfect in size. They are structurally sound. They are going in triangles. There's not like, there is no natural formation of these that suggests mountain to me. Typically with mountains, you have the natural formation and the bumps and the bruises and whatever it may be of the world, you know, making rock corrode and erosion and all those scientific knowledge and terms that you have things going together to create mountains. These do not look like that. These look like legitimate pyramids, straight triangle, perfect point at the top. They look like somewhere where you would house bodies or you would house a living facility of ancient Egyptian times. Now, with this Buzz Aldrin tweet, I cannot confirm or debunk this. Obviously, if the tweet was deleted, a lot of people can Photoshop tweets and all that stuff. We know that. We see it every day. We see the memes and all that stuff with Twitter. So it's obvious we can Photoshop stuff. Is it worth Photoshopping this, though, especially when it involves Buzz Aldrin? Buzz Aldrin could easily confirm or deny this. Unfortunately, he's not going to. And this also leads into the conspiracy theories that the government is hiding stuff about Antarctica, but also hiding stuff about, you know, the moon landing and the Apollo mission and all that stuff. We know about the conspiracy theories about Armstrong never really landing on the moon, and it was Aldrin and all this, you know, blah, 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 blah. We're not talking about aliens, we're talking about moons, we're getting off topic, let's get back onto it. So the 16 there are 16 places restricted on the Antarctica, 12 countries are responsible for this restriction. So this again goes into the idea that when you are thinking about it, the government could be hiding something. And not just the US government, but the world government, which is basically the world treaty which they signed off on Antarctica. The world has never agreed on anything ever apart from this one treaty. And this is what really gives this theory some backbone and some leverage, is that of all these countries arguing with each other and all these countries fighting with each other, the one thing they can agree on is Antarctica. Now think about that. If we're so worried about Antarctica, why aren't we protecting the ice caps? Why aren't we protecting global warming, doing something about that? What we're protecting are these restricted regions. And that really speaks tenfold when you're looking at it like that. Okay, well, if there's these 12 countries defending this 16 regions, why aren't they doing anything else? Why are these 16 regions specifically restricted? Why is there no access? Why is there no entry? What could they possibly be hiding? And again, it could be many things that they are hiding. Looking at the pictures of these mountains, quote unquote, they do not look like mountains. These photographs clearly look like pyramids, like something is being hidden. I would love to see up close to these mountains slash pyramids. In my opinion, they're pyramids. I'd love to see up close. I'd love to see what they would look like inside using like a thermal camera or something like that. The whole thing with the Cthulhu being underwater is another theory that we can get to about aliens or monsters being under water or living underwater. And it goes back to the shark idea of what, just because we didn't know it was there didn't mean it didn't exist. Now if this soundbite was back in 1997 or 96 or whatever it was, I was doing the research on my phone and my phone died, so I'm kind of going off memory right now, so sorry about that, guys. But this soundbite was that long ago, then why haven't we followed up that soundbite by researching it? Obviously something is being hidden, right? There's a theory out there that if the aliens are underwater, then why would we not restrict that area and ensure that nobody would go out there to do more further scientific investigations to make sure that this is permanently hidden and kept under wraps. We always talk about Area 51 being kept under wraps. That's just by the US government, though. There's no one else in the world who's like, oh, Area 51 needs to be kept under wraps because of so-and-so. But this Antarctica theory seems to really put out there that they could be holding stuff behind, because it's not just by the United States, it's by 12 other countries, which include Germany, and they include Great Britain, and they include Spain, and they include France, like the big powerhouses of back in the day. So with that kind of influence and power defending this 16 regions, one has to really think, is there something that is being hidden? And like I said previously, these pyramids that I'm calling them could hide a lot of things, and this could be the missing link that we have been looking for hundreds of years. The missing link between Earthlings and an extraterrestrial intelligence. Anything, like a piece of equipment, some bones, a spacecraft, whatever it may be. And I also looked it up, it was an AFO now, not a UFO, or UAO, an unidentified airborne object. That was it, an unidentified airborne object, because it's not a flying object anymore. We know it's an airborne object. So it was a UAO. That was what I was looking for earlier when I knew they were not called UFOs anymore. Quick side point there. But I go back to the subject of, if anything is hidden, there would be the place to hide it. It wouldn't be Area 51. Area 51, if anything, could be a decoy to actually the hiding place of Antarctica. And everyone would be so set on Area 51, especially with the meme that was coming out, you know, let's all storm Area 51 and all this stuff. What about Antarctica? If Antarctica is being protected by 12 countries, doesn't that have a bit more holding power to, hey, something might be hidden here than Area 51? And the reason I say that, again, is that it's not just the United States government hiding shit. Like, the US government can hide plenty of things, trust me, we all know that with Jeffrey Epstein, and we all know that with Harvey Weinstein and all this shit. They can protect child predators, and they can protect sex traffickers and shit like that in their own Congress. They can protect child molesters and murderers who are their own Congress, and even their fucking presidents and shit like that. But why would they openly have stuff like Area 51 out there? It really makes you think, doesn't it? Like, okay, now we're putting two and two together, we're getting seven. But this seven is dividing into two and also making four, right? Because what perfect way to have a decoy as an area like 51, a big government base, which we don't know what's inside there. People have claimed there's been aliens and bones and shit like that and dissections and stuff, and there may well have been that, but we can't be known for sure. What we do know for sure is that if you were going to put out a decoy, Area 51 is the best fucking decoy you can think of. I mean, look at it. It's a giant military base, very privatized, and no one knows what's inside there apart from top secret government agents. So what's inside there? What's inside Antarctica? All these questions are questions that can just lead more and more down a rabbit hole of, are aliens here already? Do we just need to figure out the electro waves? Do we need to figure out the magnetic waves, the brain waves? What do we need to figure out to get that next point of contact? If we've already made contact and it's been hidden from people, then why are we hiding it? What's so dangerous and what's so scary? The gateway process, the theory behind that is that humans would not be able to process the discovery of aliens, of a new race, of a new species, and they wouldn't be able to handle it. They would be too afraid, they would be too scared, and they would go into panic, and it would cause mass eruption and panic. Now, I don't know about you, but I think that'd be pretty fucking cool if they were to turn around and say, hey, by the way, we discovered that this has been living among us for 15,000 years, and we only just discovered it. That's kind of cool, dude. Like, how the hell did you manage to stay camouflaged for that long? You know what I'm saying? Like, I'd be more than happy to discuss that shit with people. So the idea of the human race not being able to deal with it is very valid, because I know a lot of people in my life alone who would not be able to deal with the idea of that. So maybe the government is already easing it into us and we just don't know it yet. They've already confirmed unidentified airborne objects. They've already confirmed that in their news articles. Like I said, you can look it up on the Times or anything like that. A UAO confirmed or something like that. You Google it and it will show up saying they've had these things confirmed. So maybe we're being eased into the idea of there being another race among us. And that's the way we introduce ourselves to this next species of humans, effectively. Because that's what they would be called, right? Even if they're a different race, they would eventually evolve into a humankind. They would end up mating with humans, and you'd have the mix of half alien, half human, which eventually would just become human. So maybe this is the next step of human race as we know it. Maybe after 12 years and the world, you know, the sea levels rise and the ice caps melt and the world is fucked, we adapt and we help become adapted by this new extraterrestrial entities, and this brings on a new generation, a new mixture of chemicals and, you know, DNA in your body that makes it able for us to survive still as a race and to continue going and evolving, and eventually maybe we can use technology to find ourselves another planet, and hopefully we won't fuck that one up like we did this one. I don't know. Again, all of these are just theories that are completely being thrown out there, but again, you always go down this rabbit hole when you're thinking about stuff like this. Because like I said, we could sit here and we could talk about this for hours. Unfortunately, I can't do that because I also have to do other things, but I would love to hear what you guys would think about all of these potential scenarios and even already scenarios that have happened. The shark is the biggest key point of this whole podcast. The biggest point is this. If you take anything away, take this away from the podcast. Just because you don't see it or haven't seen it before doesn't mean it hasn't existed. So with that being said, let's end this segment here. Let's move on to This Time Online. We're going to finish up the podcast. And I have just found out something very interesting that pertains to this whole Antarctica discussion we have just had. So stay tuned. You're not going to want to miss it right here on The Synopsis. Okay, so winding things down, a couple of things that have made it into Twitter and Instagram today. First one being Mia Khalifa creating a huge uproar, saying she only made $12,000 this year from pornographic imagery and all this stuff. Hey, you made 12 grand more than most of us, Mia, so I won't complain too much about it. She said she's been out of the industry for 5 years now, but because of the way everything is, she doesn't make that much money. Hey, you got all these girls online doing free feeds and mini cams and whatever it may be, making much more money than that, so maybe you're in the wrong business, Mia. I don't know. Trump is a white supremacist is trending with a hashtag, also trending with Protect Terrence K. Williams. Obviously, this is about Donald Trump denying black people from renting in his buildings, calling Mexicans racist, calling people Pocahontas, calling brown immigrants an invasion, and saying Congress women of color should be sent back to where they came from. Trump is obviously in the news right now for not exactly being the best person in the world. Not getting into politics on this podcast, I don't want to talk about that. It just gets me heated up, it gets you in trouble. Something we don't need in this podcast. So, the two guards who were assigned to monitor Jeffrey Epstein have been placed on administrative leave following his suicide. The warden has temporarily been reassigned. Epstein was found dead on Saturday in his prison cell. He was being held for sex trafficking. He was a child molester. And basically, people are saying that these two guards looked the other way for a couple of minutes while Epstein hung himself, basically giving the dude a get-out-of-jail-free card. So a lot of people aren't happy with those guards. Hopefully they do not get reinstated and they will just be done with their jobs, because you just let somebody who was absolutely disgusting as a human being get away with everything he did because he got the easy coward's way out. Instead of having jail time, he just managed to hang himself. So those guards can go fuck themselves. Let's be honest. So here is the interesting news, is what I was talking about an Antarctica conspiracy thread. About 5 hours ago, the discovery of radioactive space dust has been discovered in Antarctica from the Milky Way. Apparently, it was not from our solar system, which is something that is really giving boost to this theory of the Antarctica and the aliens. So that's definitely something we are going to keep our eyes on right now, especially with all we were talking about with the Antarctica having hiding the super space alien race and all this good stuff. It could be coming true. This could be the turning point of where the government are allowing us to finally know about extraterrestrial activity. It says here, the team of researchers has analyzed snow deposits and discovers the presence of a material that comes from outside our solar system. The samples are an isotope of iron-60 in fresh fallen snow that could only have come outside our planetary system. They suspect the rare element arrived in Antarctica in the form of an interstellar dust in the last 20 years. Going back to that idea of just because you don't see it doesn't mean it doesn't exist. There is a radioactive element that can be produced in a nuclear process and a supernovae. Astronomers have found it in interstellar space, but it has also been found on the bottom of the sea on Earth about 2.5 million years ago, and on the moon. It suggests that over the last few million years, Earth has been showered with material from nearby supernova, which should show up in geological formations. Again, this is really getting the idea of Antarctica may actually be something where we should be watching because of space and aliens. So definitely keep your eye out on that story. If you haven't checked it out, I highly suggest you check it out. Look up on Google or on your Twitter, the Antarctica Space Dust, and then you guys can look into it yourself and figure out where you want to go from there. Like I said, I think this has been a very fun podcast. I have had a lot of fun researching this stuff, especially about the aliens, especially about the wavelengths, and now more so than ever, this Antarctica theory, especially within the last 5 hours, has really just come almost into fruition as I've been recording the podcast. And that's kind of crazy to think about, that in a space so quick as 5 hours, we can now be discussing potential interspace dimensions and galaxies and stuff like that coming into our universe in the past 20 years. And this was only 5 hours ago, but we haven't known about this for 20 plus years. It's ridiculous to think about, and I for one am very excited to see where this goes. Again, to all my synopsers who are listening, maybe that'll be our nickname, the synopsers for the synopsis. A lot of people have asked me how I got the name The Synopsis. I will tell you, my last name is Scowan. I was going to call the podcast The Scowan Synopsis. You know, kind of an alliteration kind of vibes. After sitting on it and dwelling on it for a couple of days, I decided, you know what, it's just easier to call it The Synopsis. And the idea of going down the rabbit hole is something that was said on Alice in Wonderland, about her going down the hole which goes into Wonderland. It's been used throughout the history of time ever since that movie, and I figured going down the rabbit hole was a nice kind of ring to it. So that's how we got The Synopsis and Let's Go Down the Rabbit Hole. That is how we got our artwork, which I actually made myself. I was kind of proud of it. I will always be more than happy for people to send in fan art or suggestions or even like introductions. If you want to be like, hey, this is so and so, welcome to The Synopsis, by all means send me in a soundbite, a WMV or MP3 file, and I can quite happily add you into the podcast. I would love to do some Q&As with you guys. So for all of my synopsis listening, thank you so much for sticking through this episode 16, alien hunting basically, and discussing the theories behind aliens. We appreciate all the support you give us, our backers who support us monthly, everyone who shares with their friends. This is how this podcast is going to start taking off, is by you guys sharing with your friends, showing us love on Twitter, on Instagram, all that good stuff. Just making it well known that, hey, we're not just all talk here. We have some fun and we like to do shit, you know, a good time. And we're not one of those corporate companies that just say whatever they're paid to say. Hey, we're going to do legitimate reactions and honest stories and shit like that. We're just going to make it fun. So for all of you listening, thank you so much. If you stuck throughout this whole entire podcast, you must have been interested in this shit too, just like I was. And I appreciate you sticking through. Our next episode, we're thinking doing something about paranormal again. Maybe some spooky dolls or some hauntings or something like that. Hey, if you want, we can discuss more alien theories or some other conspiracy theories. I don't know. Let me know. You guys know where to find us on Twitter and where to find us on Instagram. So without keeping you guys any longer and without further ado, I hope you enjoyed. Have a great night and a better tomorrow. This has been Zach from The Synopsis, and thank you for coming down the rabbit hole with me. I shall hear you all next time.